I'm Judy Masoji. We have media news from six nations, the UK, Mexico, El Salvador, India, Ukraine, and Belarus.
From the United Kingdom.
YouTube is verifying the identities of healthcare professionals in the UK. Will verification stop the flow of misinformation about COVID?
From Mexico.
Are journalists safe in Mexico? Why is there so much violence against journalists? Is it the drug war? What is the government doing about this?
From El Salvador.
Is there a free press in El Salvador? Is President Nayib Bukele letting investigative journalists report in El Salvador? Is Bukele's war on the gangs of El Salvador also a conflict with the press?
From India.
Indian TV networks are testing virtual anchors created with artificial intelligence. Will these robot anchors replace human hosts on TV news shows? Why are the anchor bots women?
From Ukraine.
How is the Ukrainian government using X, formerly known as Twitter, to influence world opinion? Is this Ukrainian Twitter campaign propaganda? Is it working?
From Belarus.
How does the government of Alexander Lukashenko treat the independent press in Belarus? Is there a government war on independent journalists in Belarus? Can reporters report?
All this and more coming up on OWWR, World West Radio, streaming live from Stitcher.
Let's start with the news about social media misinformation and the government in the United Kingdom. Aidan Bongiorno is here to report about what YouTube is doing to stop the flow of misinformation about COVID in the UK. YouTube is not the only platform spreading misinformation and disinformation during the pandemic, but it has been a major vector of misinformation. Who should be responsible for stopping all this misinformation? Is it the corporate platforms' responsibilities to protect us from false information? Should YouTube be filtering and censoring user content? Or is it the government's responsibilities to stop the spread of misinformation? Aidan, what is the problem that YouTube is trying to solve in the UK?
That is a very excellent question. What is the major problem?
Well, the major problem that YouTube is trying to solve in the UK is reducing the spread of misinformation throughout its platform in regards to healthcare information. Now, this isn't just a COVID thing, but it's mostly healthcare information in general. So, examples, of course, would be like cancer, vaccines, or just basic normal health symptoms. And considering that YouTube is one of the top major video platforms in our world, the people who run YouTube are mostly responsible for what is acceptable for uploading and what is not. And while anyone who has a YouTube channel posts these videos, and this video contains information that is not true whatsoever, they, of course, realize it, and then they have the power to delete it. But if it starts becoming much more of a big deal, and millions of people watch it, and next thing you know, it's all over the internet, YouTube has the power to delete that, to terminate the channel responsible for uploading that video if it's been around for a couple hours or so, or even in days. So basically, YouTube's goal is to make sure most of its healthcare content and the facts being presented are trustworthy and not acting like a false narrative. For New Media Beats, I'm Aidan Bongiorno. Back to you, Judy.
Thanks, Aidan. Let's jump back across the Atlantic to talk about the safety of journalists in Mexico. Mexico has a reputation as a dangerous place for journalists. Cristaly Almanzar has been looking into this for New Media Beat. Cristaly, just how bad is the situation for Mexican journalists investigating corruption in the drug cartels? Are journalists being killed?
Mexican journalists are in a very vulnerable position right now. And yes, they are being killed. There was actually a case I found while doing my research on this topic. His name was Marcus Ramirez. He was a crime reporter, and he was shot to death back in May of 2023. So all of this happened very recently. From what I read, it says that the motives behind his death were unclear, but it's very likely it had something to do with his job. He was in the business for about 50 years, so that's a long time of reporting the corruption that happens so often in Mexico. It was also reported that back in 2022, there were 696 crimes against Mexican media workers, which was equivalent to one attack every 13 hours. That also doesn't include the 12 journalists who died that same year. Another big issue is these crimes go unsolved, and very rarely are the killers being caught. That puts journalists in a very dangerous situation because they're continuously in harm's way. That's why impunity is at an all-time high in Mexico right now. And one of the things that I thought of while I was doing this research is, where is the president while all of this is happening? It actually turns out that the president participates in media bashing the journalists. A lot of the hatred towards these journalists comes from the president himself. He even has a daily news conference where he'll display names of the journalists and accuse them of being corrupt. If the harassment is coming from the president himself, it makes me wonder what the future of journalism looks like if there's no change within the Mexican government. For New Media Beats, I'm Cristaly Almanzar. Back to you, Judy.
Thank you, Cristaly. Up next, we have media news from El Salvador, where President Nayib Bukele is cracking down on crime and gangs with a very strong hand. And the president of El Salvador for Bukele's government has intense war with the is there a free press in El Salvador in this case?
This is Lakash Singh reporting on the situation in El Salvador for New Media Beat. Today, we're investigating the challenges faced by journalists and press freedom under President Bukele's administration. Daniel, you raised an important question about the challenges to press freedom in El Salvador. The challenges for press freedom in El Salvador include violence, intimidation, legal constraints, economic pressures, government interference, and a lack of transparency.
What specific challenges do you think journalists and media organizations face in El Salvador?
So, the challenges that journalists and media workers in El Salvador face are visible violence, threats, and intimidation, particularly when reporting on issues related to organized crime, corruption, or human rights abuses. These dangers can have a chilling effect on their willingness to pursue investigative stories and report independently. El Salvador has laws that can be used to restrict freedom of the press, such as defamation and libel laws. These legal mechanisms can be weaponized to silence journalists critical of the government or powerful individuals, leading to self-censorship. Many media organizations in El Salvador are financially vulnerable, relying on advertising revenue for survival. This financial dependence can make them susceptible to pressures from advertisers or government officials, compromising their editorial independence. The relationship between Salvadorian government and the media can be contentious. Some government officials have openly criticized or even threatened media outlets that are critical of their policies, creating an environment of fear and self-censorship among journalists.
Could you elaborate on the government's relationship with the media and its complications for press freedom?
Of course. The Salvadorian government's relationship with the media can be adversarial, with some officials openly criticizing critical reporting. This relationship can have several implications for press freedom. Government criticism and threats against media outlets can create a climate of fear, leading journalists and media organizations to self-censor to avoid backlash. The government may control access to information, limiting transparency and making it difficult for journalists to uncover wrongdoing. For New Media Beat, I'm Akash Singh.
Thanks, Akash. Let's talk about media in India. My co-host, Judy Masogi, has been digging into a very different topic. Television networks in India are experimenting with visual news anchors. What is a visual news anchor? Can AI-generated visual anchors replace human anchors and deliver the news to TV? Is this the future of TV journalism? How will audiences react to these anchor robots? Will they be trusted? What are the issues and key questions that this latest version of AI content creation raises from media professionals and audiences? Judy, have you watched one of these anchor robots in action?
I have, and I think the appeal about the AI bots is that they're able to deliver the news in a timely manner, and they're able to speak multiple languages to reach broader audiences. And the AI anchors also offer a visual advantage, being described as bright, gorgeous, ageless, and tireless, which is why I think that they're majority women. And networks across India seem to be in favor of these changes because they think that AI will usher a new era of broadcasting and journalism. One company, Odisha TV, one of the most popular news channels in India, utilize AI and say that it's going to revolutionize TV broadcasting and journalism. However, many media critics in India seem opposed to the use of AI and fear for the future of journalism. Most journalists believe that while AI bots can do the basic news bulletins, they may not be able to react and conduct debates the way individual anchors do today. Another concern is how AI will affect the credibility in news and journalism. And then audiences may believe that the AI bots do not offer authenticity. For New Media Week, I'm Judy Imasoji.
Old Westbury, USA. OWWR. WWR.
Social media networks are very influential, and X, the platform once known as Twitter, is a key player in global influence campaigns. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky's government is very active on X. New Media Beat reporter Jalen Gonzalez has a report about the Ukraine Twitter campaign. Jalen, tell us what Ukraine's official account on X has been tweeting about this war.
Well, in Ukraine, the official government Twitter account, which is now called X, launches their own attack against the Russian army by using Ukrainian propaganda. Although Russia has been unleashing attacks on Ukraine, this doesn't stop Ukraine from getting a few shots in and showing how strong they truly are. The first of many posts from Ukraine shows many tractors helping Ukraine in battle and moving heavy machinery, with a caption that reads, "Don't mess with Ukrainian farmers." Ukraine's resistance began posting and showing the strength of Ukraine by launching videos of how they prepared for battle, or pictures made by artists depicting Ukraine in its dark time. Most of these posts showed families, in particular a mother and or father with a baby holding out somewhere during Russian attacks. The caption reads, "We maintain humanity and faith in a better tomorrow." This allowed the world to see horrors that Ukraine faced on their side against the Russians in their battles. At times, certain countries censor media during war times, and the ideas don't get out to the world fully. Luckily, however, Ukraine didn't seem to have a problem with censorship issues since they gained many allies, and the propaganda they posted spread throughout the internet, one of their primary allies being the U.S., Although war propaganda allowed Ukraine to gain more allies, the U.S. joined the fight, originally by helping Ukraine over the years financially, donations, and even just lending a hand. Although the use of media isn't new for countries in war times, the expansion of tech and media have grown dramatically over the years, and it is now more accessible than ever to more people around the world. This allowed more countries to lend a hand to Ukraine. Ukrainian allies helped the best they could to help Ukraine defend against Russian attacks. Two of these major allies were the U.S. and European countries. Tweets appeared over the past 2 years directed towards Ukrainian allies. Ukraine's primary ally, the U.S., helped them through many hardships through donations in weaponry and military power. They even dedicated a post to them on the 4th of July. For New Media Beat, I'm Jalen Gonzalez. Back to you, Judy.
Thank you, Jalen. Let's move across the border from Ukraine to Belarus. Belarus is a neighbor of both Ukraine and Russia. Belarus was a part of the Soviet Union. The president of Belarus, Alexander Lukashenko, is allied with Vladimir Putin. Both Lukashenko and Putin are authoritarian leaders who rule with an iron hand. The government of Belarus and the government of Russia have very little patience for independent news media. Is it possible to dissent in Belarus? Michael Amato is ready to tell us about the relationship between Lukashenko's government and the press in Belarus. Michael, how are journalists being treated in Belarus?
The media in Belarus has never been more repressed and restricted. For example, Tut.by was blocked, raided, and searched over claims of being extremists. Tut.by was the most popular news website in all of Belarus. As of today, around 34 journalists are detained, and around 400 have been forced to flee the country. It doesn't end there. After they are arrested or detained, they are mistreated and sometimes assaulted in prison. Regardless of their actions physically, think about the psychological torture these poor journalists go through. They get punished and put through torture for just doing their job. They get treated like this over a pure opinion.
Who is Katsyarna Andreeva?
Katsyarna Andreeva is a journalist who is currently serving a hefty sentence in prison for quote-unquote treason. Her charge of treason is labeled by many as bogus and ludicrous. She was first serving a 2-year sentence for allegedly organizing an illegal protest, but was later hit with the treason charge without revealing the grounds for the charge. She is a prime example of the kind of unfair conditions these journalists are being put through for no real reason. It was revealed by the Committee to Protect Journalists that Adriva was planning on appealing the verdict, but nothing ever came of it.
What is the severity of these punishments?
These journalists are being treated very poorly. The killing of Tut.by showed how Belarusian authorities were trying to control the media. Since journalists are harder to contain compared to a website, authorities choose to punish them. Like I mentioned previously, about 34 journalists are detained, and for bogus reasons. Ultimately, the government of Belarus feels that the journalists are discrediting the country of Belarus and the government itself.
What does the future of media look like in Belarus?
It goes without being said that these vicious decisions by the government are negatively impacting the future of journalism in Belarus. Journalism in a majority of other countries is thriving with the increase in popularity of social media. Yet, due to the repressive media, Belarus is taking a leap backwards. According to Reporters Without Borders, some journalists continue to feel the need to censor themselves through fear of endangering their families who still reside in Belarus. Belarus is ranked as the worst jailer of journalists in all of Europe, according to Reporters Without Borders, which shows just how poor the future of media looks in Belarus. For New Media Beat, I am Michael Amato. Back to you, Judy.
Thank you, Michael.
Thanks for listening to New Media Beat. Thanks to our co-producers, Alex Hatchbow and Eden Bongiorno. Alex Hatchbow also introduced the show today. My co-host, Judy Masogi.
Thanks, Daniel. Today we heard reports from Eden Bongiorno, Crystalie Almanzar, Akash Singh, Judy Masogi, Jalen Gonzalez, and Michael Amato.
New Media Beat is brought to you by OWWR Old Westbury Web Radio in the Media Communications Department here at State University of New York College at Old Westbury.
For more New Media news and resources, check out our latest posts at newmediabeat.org, where you can listen to all of our webcasts and even subscribe to our podcast feed.
Follow us on Twitter at OWWRGMN. Use our Twitter feed to keep up with the latest news and aspiring journalists and media professionals. That's at OWWRGMN.
Stay tuned for more great programming coming up next on OWWR Old Westbury.